I would like to thank Brian for the beautiful music. I wish I could always hear that music every Sabbath and every day. And when we get such music here on earth, what about one day when we are in heaven? And thank you, Charlene, for the choice of the music and that how great our God is. Thank you for all the music, and it has been so wonderful. And also, maybe a few people that I may mention. First thing, I would like to thank all of you for coming during snow. It has been so cold, and having grown up in the tropical regions, this has been one of the toughest years in my life as far as weather is concerned. It has been so cold. I grew up in the tropical region. It's always summertime, and this idea of going below zero, it's no fluke, it's no joke. I would like to thank quite a number of people. I may leave your name, but I've already thanked you for coming. Mr. and Mrs. Zua, they come from very far away. For them to drive during the snow time, and I think I'm talking of Amanda and Tunga. In my culture, I call them Mr. and Mrs. Zua because I'm always respectful. So Amanda and Tunga, they come from very far away. And also Jerry comes from quite a drive. And the commitment for people who were here, the Stones, when they were here yesterday, and also leading and playing the piano, that's a lot of work. So we do appreciate that. We also do appreciate our treasure for bringing those envelopes so early. And there are some people who came a little bit late. You need to pick up your envelopes for tithe so that you can fill in your taxes. We've got a wonderful Savior that we serve. And today, I had promised somebody that we're going to talk about if you want to get out of the, if you want to walk on water, get out of the boat. But I changed that topic. Mr. Smith, I talked to you about that. We are going to talk about a good shepherd. We're going to talk about a good shepherd. So we're going to look at the life of Moses and get a few lessons from the life of Moses. And then we'll end up at Calvary where the good shepherd died. We are going to read from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 11. Now it came to pass those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. He said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And when he said, then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he thought to kill Moses. But Moses fled to the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now listen carefully on this one. When the shepherds came and drove them away. Sorry. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. That's verse 16. And they came and drew water. and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You have allowed us to drive through snow to come so that we will get meat from your house. Let your will be done in our lives. I want to thank you. Let your presence be felt. And let us learn from thee. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You all know I work in hospital. And I got a scissors right here. This is quite a big scissors. The place where I work is an orthopedic unit. Say, if you are involved in an accident and your bones are broken, that's where you are brought. And why I carry these scissors, I used to have a smaller scissors, but I carry this one because if your bones break, so you are wearing pants, I have to cut your pants. I got to cut them. Even the shirts, no matter how expensive it is, I got to cut that. Why we cut it? Because we cannot pull out the pants, so we got to cut it. So when you are traveling, it's just as advice. Always make sure that you are well-dressed. But when we do the cutting, and that's what we do every day, in our unit, we always cut pants, shorts, and what have you. All the clothing, we do cut it every day. Because always we come across people that come with broken bones. And there are quite a number of people that are here that work in hospital. And I think nearly everybody here has visited the hospital one time or the other. And when you go to hospital, nurses do not beat you up. Neither do doctors beat you up. They always handle you with care. There's a reason why it's like that. And we have a spiritual application to that. I think all those that work at IU, last 2 weeks ago or three, we were attending a session where we were taught about why people behave the way they behave. A lot of people that come in hospital, they come maybe because their mother has got cancer. And when your next of kin has got cancer, it means you are sick yourself. Emotionally, you are not all right. And some people, they come there because their bones are broken. And I've spoken to a lot of people whose bones are broken. You are driving, you are going to work. You are involved in an accident. And then you break your leg. Okay? It means you are not going to clock in and out, so there's no paycheck coming home. So while we are lying in hospital, you've got a lot of worries because everything has stopped. Maybe you're planning to take your kid to go for swimming and they are no longer going to go there because everything has come to a standstill. And the people who are going to take care of you, they've got to take care of your emotions as well because a lot of things are not in place. At times there are certain bills that you wanted to pay and those bills you are not going to be able to pay them. Because you are now lying in hospital. And while we are lying in hospital, in most cases you are very much stressed. The reason being that you know that the bills are piling up at home. And in the hospital, we are not lying in there free of charge. The bills are also what? Piling. And when the doctor comes in the morning and says, good morning, it means maybe $40 or $50 or whatever it is. That's what it means, yeah, when they come to see you. So the people that handle you, they got to handle you with care because you are sick. And also, your relatives are sick too. So everybody who is in hospital, the relatives, even they may look okay, they might try to hold it together, but you know what? They are sick too. So the nurses who take care of those patients and their relatives, they've got to be patient and they've got to be understanding so that these patients will heal a little bit better and things will work a little bit better. Philip, do you mind to show that video? There's a small video. It's about only about three minutes long. Somebody is calling the sheep. That guy may not be speaking English, but I think a picture or a video will speak a thousand words. All right. That's okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Philip. That's a good shepherd. When the sheep heard his voice, they came. They did not come for beating. They came because they were going to get food. Because they were going to get healing. That's why they came. If that shepherd was a bad shepherd, if there was time, I would have shown another one that has got a bad shepherd, but our time there is really way off. That's a good shepherd. Let's go to the story of Moses. Moses grew up in Egypt. He grew up in the palace. He was adopted by the family of Pharaoh. He ate all the kind of food that can be eaten from the palace. But the family that he belonged to were the Hebrews, and the Hebrews were being enslaved by Pharaoh and his kingdom. And there was a lot of problems that were going on. The Bible says he was making them mold bricks, and there was no time for them to rest. He was always making them work so hard, and they were working for nothing as slaves. And Moses, being in the palace, he was going around and he sees how the children of Israel were being treated in Egypt. And it bothered him and it stirred his soul and it made him angry. So the Bible says one of these days when Moses was walking and then he sees an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, and that anger, or maybe, I don't know whether I can call it righteous indignation, came on him, and he killed the Egyptian, and then hid him in the sand. He was trying to save the Hebrew people. And then the following day, Moses finds that other Hebrew who was fighting, is fighting with another Hebrew. And then he says, "Why are you fighting?" And guess what? These are church members that are fighting now. Initially, there was somebody who was out from outside, and then you fix that. Now, church members are what? Are fighting, and what do you do? There was a problem right there in solving a fight between church members. And then the thing was known, and then Moses ran away, and he goes to the Midian country. And my Bible says there was a priest of God in Midian, or in the Midian country. And the name of this man was Jethro. The Bible also calls him Rehob. And then the Bible says, when Moses is coming from Egypt, he goes to the Midian country, and then he goes by the well, and when he gets at the well, that's where he sits there at the well, and at the well, people normally bring their sheep to come and drink after having fed on grass. While he's seated at the well, my Bible says, Jethro sent his seven daughters to go and water the flock. Seven girls. And when I went through in the Bible, I also found that Jethro had a son. And the son is the one who led the children of Israel in the wilderness. If you read your Bible very well, it's there. Yes, they were being led by the pillar of fire and cloud during the night and during the day. But during the during that time also, Jethro's son is the one who knew the ways in the wilderness. He knew the path that they should follow. So he was their guide in the wilderness. But Jethro sent 7 daughters to go and look after the sheep. The culture normally is that guys are the ones that will go and water the sheep. My thinking was probably because he had 7 daughters, he was like, okay, you know, he was looking forward that they will get married. So the place where you can find good young men is at the well where they will bring sheep. But the problem was that the kind of men that were coming there, they were very bad guys. Bad guys. They were abusing these ladies. Maybe there's a lesson for our young people, young ladies that are here. One lesson that is there is that don't let people that abuse you, don't marry people that abuse you when you are a boyfriend and girlfriend. Our young ladies that are here, you go out. Don't date people that abuse you. These were bad guys. They were stubborn, and they had no respect of women. So if you go out with a man who doesn't have respect for women, please forget about it. Cancel that date, or fall out of love with that man. Do you hear me, young ladies that are here? All right. And then on this particular day, a very good man appeared. You see, Moses is coming away from Pharaoh. He ran away from the Egyptians. And then he gets here, he sees women that are being abused. And then my Bible, if you read it very well, it says he stood up for them. Now, Moses is a foreign in this country. He is not known. Now, some of you, you don't know what it means to be a foreigner. You ask me. People don't respect you. If you break the law of the country, you'll be deported and you go back. That's what is here in this country. I'm not a foreigner anymore. I'm an American, so I can always stand up for the rights of other people. But the thing is, when you do not have the papers and you try to stand up for people, you are going to be deported. Now, Moses is coming from another country. He comes here. This is the first time nobody has introduced him. He doesn't know anybody. And he says, he sees injustice and he says, no, this is not going to happen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand up for these young ladies. And he stood up for them. And the Bible says they were able to water their flock, and then they went home. So on their way home, when they got home, their father was like, how come you came so early? Then they said a certain Egyptian helped us. So a child of God or a good shepherd will always stand up for those that are being abused. So young people that are here, young men, I see 2, 3, 4, 5 young men. When you are handling ladies, handle them with care. Don't abuse them. Help them and stand up for them. That's what a good man does. That's the lesson that we learn from Moses. He stood up for the young people, and after standing up for those girls, guess what? He ended up getting a wife for himself. And that's Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro. So, but the thing that is surprising is you're in a foreign country, Moses. And the thing that you are running away from, you see it happening, and then you jump into the fray and you start fighting against abuse. There are young people that go to school in here. There are a lot of people that bully other people at school. Those that believe in God will always stand up for those that are being bullied. You cannot just let injustice go just like that. If good men do not stand up, then evil will prevail. If it means that you are seeing somebody being abused, you've got to report. That's what you've got to do. Or if somebody is being bullied, that's what you have to do. So that's a lesson for our young people and also for our older folk too here. But the thing with Moses is that he is touched by the lives of people that are being abused. And then he stands up for them. So he ends up getting a wife. That's good relationship there. So what lessons can we draw from there? The lessons that we can draw is this, that the children of God are supposed to stand for those that are being abused. But the main problem that was there, the sheep were failing to drink water. The water was there. The shepherds were there. And the sheep were there. And the sheep were thirsty. But the sheep could not drink water because of the shepherds. And do you know the work of the shepherds? It's to look after the sheep. But my Bible here is saying these shepherds, what they were doing is they were driving away the sheep and the girls from Jethro's place. So the shepherds are the ones who are at the well. And the sheep is sheep. The sheep are supposed to drink, but because of the shepherds, the sheep could not drink water. That's a problem. A really, really big problem. And when you go further with the Bible, you go to the story of Jacob. When Jacob runs away from his brother Esau, he gets to a well. When he gets to the well, he sees that there are people who are seated at the well. And there was a big stone that was covering that well. When you read your Bible, it will tell you that. There were people that were there, that were seated there. And when he asked them, why were they waiting? Then the shepherd said, it was not yet time for the sheep to drink. Okay, and then the daughters of Laban came. And Jacob removed the stone, and then the sheep started to drink. He didn't wait for the time. So there are some shepherds that drive away the sheep. Let me come home. This is the church of God. This is the church of God, and that's the state that is there. There are some shepherds that are out there that teach false doctrine. And then the sheep of God is drinking false doctrine, leading away. But that's not where I'm going to dwell on. I'm going to dwell on our church here today, the church at large. There are several phone calls that pastors receive. Even Pastor Steve receives these phone calls. One day, a young woman phoned the pastor and said, I've been raped. And she was in tears. And that young woman came to church. And when she came to church, she was new. Nobody knew her at the church. But that particular week, she was abused. She was raped. She came to church. And the church member did not greet her. They just ignored her. They were busy talking to each other. And this young woman went home and committed suicide after calling the pastor. There was another phone call. Another young man lost his brother in Afghanistan. Came to church. And nobody attended to him. He could not speak to anybody. That was the only brother that he had. The father and the mother died. He gave a call to the pastor so that he can just get somebody that to talk to. But when he came to church, after the church was over, went home, nobody talked to. He was just lonely. I'm talking of the Adventist church. And somebody else called. Their gas was shut because they were unemployed. Called the church, and there were some explanations that were given, and the church could not help. They ended up being homeless, living under the bridge in these freezing temperatures, because the church did not communicate. The message got there, but that message was not acted upon. I gave an example of what happens when people are in hospital. When people come to hospital, they are sick, and what they need is healing. You don't want to come to hospital and you've got a big wound, and somebody starts scratching on that wound, and then they're introducing more infection to that wound. You don't want that. Or maybe you've got a headache. You tell them, "I've got a headache." And then somebody comes and then they punch you in your head when you've got a headache. You want somebody who's going to soothe you, somebody who's going to help you. And that's what a good shepherd does. You know, the small video that we saw, that was a good shepherd who was calling on the sheep to come. The sheep came because this was a good shepherd. And we are seeing a good example of a good shepherd in Moses. That he sees injustice going on, and then he stands up for injustice. He was a young man, but he stood up for injustice. What is the Church of God doing? This is the place where the sheep will come and drink. But there are two kinds of shepherds. There's a shepherd who comes and then blocks the door by their words, by their action, so that the sheep will not come in here and drink. What is the Church of God doing? Are we learning from the shepherd with the master? This is the place of healing where when people are hurting, they are supposed to come and heal. When they are bleeding, the bleeding is supposed to come once they get to this place. But is the bleeding stopping, or are we making it worse? How are our human relationships? How are our family dynamics? When I was preparing this message, I looked at myself and then I'm like, okay, I can say the truth. Because when you check with my family, I always say the truth just the way it is, just cut it just like that. But at times there is a way that you can say the truth in a nice way. And then there's a way you can say the truth and then it does hurt. So what I'm saying is the Church of God has got to be careful with our words. There are a lot of victims that are here today. A lot of people that come. At times you see somebody coming at 11 a.m. Oh, he's coming late. I've said that. No. Oh, he comes late. Or she comes late. Or I do come late. But probably you don't know what happened at home. What you're seeing is somebody who's coming late. Probably they got a phone call that somebody died. And then they were crying. And then they gathered the courage to come here. Only to come here to have an elder Matthew saying, he came late. Am I wounding the soul that is injured? A lot of people that are here, they are injured. And we are also injured. We are wounded healers. We need to take care of the wounds that we have and take care of other people's wounds. And that's what a good shepherd does. A lot of people die because of the words that come out of our mouth. A lot of people die because of our action. There are many good things that we do. Many good things that we do. But I'm saying, let us take an example from Christ, our good shepherd. When you go to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. It says, the last verse, it says here, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughters of my people? Is there no healing in the balm of Is there no healing in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? Balm was a mixture of oil and herbs that was used to heal. And God is asking, is there no healing in Israel? Is there no physician in Israel? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in the Church of God at Chapel West? Is there no healing at Chapel West? What are my people doing? Why are my daughters not being healed? Maybe because there's no balm in Gilead. But God is saying there is healing. He's saying when my people that are abused come to the Church of God, they've got to have healing taking place because the people that are there, they are healed by Jesus. And as a result, they also extend the healing that they had, they extend it to the others so that others can be healed. Is there no God in Israel? Yes, there is Jesus. Let me quickly go to Calvary. One day, when the Master of the Universe came on earth, after being nailed on the cross between the two thieves, there was one guy who said, you need to heal yourself and then get out of here and then heal me. But there was one thief who was there at Calvary. And that thief said to Jesus, I know what I've done. I used to steal. I used to do a lot of things. Maybe the day before yesterday I did something. I've done a lot of things that I've done. But what I have is only today. My feet are getting cold. And I'm losing my breath. And I'm losing strength. I'm going to die. The only time that I have is today and this minute. And I got only one request for this minute. For this minute, the only request that I have is this, that may you please remember me in paradise. And then the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who died for me, he said, today, I will remember you in my Father's paradise. It's not about what you did yesterday or what you have done in the past, what you did in the last minute. No, it's about this very minute. Jesus says, I forgive you. Many of the people's wounded souls are not being forgiven. Forgive and move on. There's balm in Gilead. There's healing in Israel. What I'm saying today, Church of the Living God, is let us come to the balm in Gilead. And that balm in Gilead is Jesus. Let us not beat up those that are coming. Maybe the church is not growing because we are beating up saints. And We've got people that are dying because of friendly fire. But thank God that you are here today. Thank God that God has healed your souls. When you see somebody come, just see them in the eyes of Jesus and know that they are here for healing. And the only thing that I want you to know is that when people are sick, if you push them just a little bit, they will say you've pushed them too hard. Those that work in hospital, when they press their button or their call light, if you delay by 5 minutes, to them it's 1 hour. So handle the saints of God with care. Handle the people of God with care. This is the healing place. This is where the balm of Gilead is. So let us all come for healing. You may be a wounded soul. There are some wounded souls right now, right there. There are some. When you see people of God come, it's because they are wounded, they need healing. So let us work together as a family. Be like Moses, that when you see somebody not standing up for, when people are being abused, stand up for the righteous. Because this is the kingdom of God. This is the law of God, the law of love. That's why one day, when all is said and done, when Christ comes, we'll go to heaven. The Bible says there will be a table that will be laid. And on that table, we are going to dine together with Jesus as brothers and sisters that were healed by the blood of the Lamb. They are going to come from all kingdoms, from all nations, because of the Good Shepherd who died on Calvary. That Good Shepherd died for his sheep. So what I'm saying, just like the Good Shepherd, we need to learn to sacrifice for the sheep of God. Let us sacrifice for the sheep of God. Let us do his will and continue to do his will. There are a lot of good works that have been done here. A lot of good works that have been done. And let us continue doing the good works. A lot of people have been helped. Many people during the course of our stay. But what I'm saying is, let us continue doing what is right. Let us continue in the love of God. And let us know that this is the healing. There should be healing in Gilead. Even in our families, there should be healing. In our young people, they should be healing. Handle the vessels of God with care. It doesn't matter whether that's your child, your daughter, your son, whoever it is. Handle the children of God with care. For God cares for them. That's why he died for them. And that's why these sheep, when they were called, they came. Because that shepherd was not going to beat them up. If the shepherd was going to beat them up, if I was one of the sheep, the first thing I would do was what? Run away. But because the shepherd is a good shepherd, let us walk together. Let us learn to work together. And be like Moses. We end up with a family because we're fighting for goodness. May the Spirit of the Lord abide with us. Amen.